The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the cistern and drank from it himself, with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman, but still no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord. Join me first in saying a prayer, Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory be, for all those who have around the world who are affected in any way by the coronavirus, but especially those who have contracted the illness or those who have died. And so join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Perpetual Help, pray for us. This weekend, we have taken a few more precautions, as you might know, at the direction of the Archbishop. We have removed the holy water fonts, and also we're not going to pass the baskets for the donations today. That doesn't mean we don't want you to leave a donation. So we left the baskets at the entrances of the church. So at some point, probably as you're leaving Mass, if you would put your normal weekly donation in the baskets at the entrances of the church. And we'll collect those once everyone leaves. This gospel is so powerful in so many ways. And I could spend a lot of time talking about it, actually, because there's so many beautiful things to draw out. But I just want to focus in on a few because we don't have enough time. And also, sometimes it's good to just encourage you yourself to go back sometime this week and read that gospel for yourself. Just continue to read and pray with it, the gospel of the woman at the well. Because Jesus presents so many things in this. In particular, he's presenting to us an image of himself as a bridegroom. If you know a little bit about history of Scripture, especially throughout Old Testament history, a well was something very important. You would see people go to a well for a lot of different reasons, but primarily men went to the well to meet women. They would go to the well even more specifically to meet women that they hoped they would be able to marry. It was a place of meeting, a place of betrothal. It was a place where a groom would go to meet his bride, he hoped, and that they would, in God's grace and goodness, be able to live their life together, devoted to the Lord, devoted to God. And so for Jesus to go to a well today to meet a woman was rather significant. Now, Jesus doesn't go to present himself as an earthly groom. He presents himself as the divine bridegroom. And the woman at the well, of course, doesn't become his wife, but she is empowered and encouraged and committed to testifying to the truth that Jesus is the Savior of the world. She comes away with a desire to bring Christ to the world. And so she weds herself to him in a different way, through this commitment to become a true disciple of the Lord. And so what happens at the well here is powerful. Jesus says, from this place, living water will come forth. So think a little bit with me about this image of living water. Jesus asks, bring me some water. Draw some water so that I may drink. The water, though, that he's speaking of and even speaks about is a living water. He points to himself, I am that water. It could be ritual water. So when Jews would read something about living water, they knew that for many occasions, special occasions, there would be a ritual cleansing of water. Also, before a wedding, there would be a ritual washing so that the bride and bridegroom could go before each other pure and clean and ready to enter into this covenant together. But when we think about water in our context today, what typically comes to mind? Maybe baptism. Within the Christian context in the new covenant, we think of baptism. There is still, to this day, a ritual cleansing of Christians when they come to the waters of baptism. The living water that Jesus gives us is, in one sense, the water of baptism, where we become new children in Christ, where we are recreated in his image and likeness, where God claims us as his own. But also, this living water is the presence of the Holy Spirit coming down upon the church, coming down upon each of us. When we are cleansed with the water of baptism, we are also anointed with the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that purifies us, that sanctifies our lives, that guides us and the church throughout history, that guides us to the Heavenly Father. But also the water, the living water he speaks of here, should point us to the cross. Because from the cross of Jesus Christ, blood and water comes forth. When he is pierced in his side, we know that blood and water is poured out upon the church and the world. And so that living water is also a sign of his sacrificial offering to the world, but also it is the sign of the sacramental life of the church. That blood and water shows us that there is not only baptism, but the Eucharist that is given to us for the life of the world. And so like in John 6, when the disciples and the followers of Jesus are saying, give us this food always. Even the woman at the well says, give me this water. I want this water. I want this life. I want Christ. And so this is what is powerful too. What does the woman do in response to this gift she's given of Christ? She goes back into the town and she begins to testify about this truth. She begins to tell people about Jesus. She begins to become the disciple that the Lord wants her to be. And it says in this scripture that because of her testimony, because of what she was saying about the Lord at the well, everyone started stirring and saying, I want this. I want to know about this. I'm going to go to the well myself. I'm going to go and encounter the Lord. Once she receives this living water, she cannot help but evangelize and tell people about it. It's important. If you don't want to share the gospel as a Christian, if you decide not to share it with others because maybe of your fear or maybe because of our indifference. Whatever it may be, if we don't go and proclaim the message of Christ to the world, then we're in some way going against the gospel message, the nature of the gospel. When we receive the truth of Christ here, the living water, the Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ, the Word of God from this Bible, if we receive it and do nothing with it, we're going against its nature. It wants to be proclaimed and shared. Jesus wants to be known. So it begs us to ask, are we truly committed to this? Do we truly understand what the Lord is doing within us? What are we holding on to so that for whatever reason, we don't want to give everything to the world? Jesus is at the well, and he blesses this woman, who then goes and proclaims Christ to as many people as she can. Why? Because that's what the Lord asked her to do. It's what the Lord compelled her to do. Because she was then, and in that moment, wedded to Christ as a bride. Every baptized person is wedded to Christ. And so we have to think, how are we bringing the Lord to the world? So I encourage you to go and meditate with this scripture. Spend time with it. See how Christ is calling you and continues to call you to bring that living water of truth to the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.